Our conversation with the head coach each and every night that, you know, we do it, that there's a game. Brought to you by Star Markets, just for you, digital app, earned rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Last week, there was a Tuesday-Wednesday back-to-back. The Tuesday game was Toronto. There's a home game against Portland the next night. And in the Wednesday segment, where it's Wednesday right now, and the first question I asked you, if you saw things in a close first quarter that indicated to you what was eventually going to happen, and you said yes before I even finished. So I'll ask the exact same thing 1 week later. Did you see things in the first quarter that indicated it could be that kind of night?
Well, I don't think you would have, nobody would have guessed it could have been that kind of night. Right. But I went into the game feeling good about how we were going to play. I went into the game feeling good about our focus level, our level of purpose. But the other team's out there, too, and they're a championship-level team. And I think we caught them on a down night, and we were very good. And in the NBA, when that happens, you know, it's usually pretty lopsided, and we were fortunate to be on that side of the score. We've been on the other side a couple of times ourselves.
And something that's funny, we talked about last night, something that seems to have happened a lot this year, which is really getting the best shot. And as I'm sure, I think it's what you said to Steve Kerr right after the game, that they, if anyone knows about getting the other team's best shot every night, it's them.
There's no doubt. And I told him when I saw him, I said, we've had a few of these. What they've done over the course of time being the target is pretty remarkable, because people are not only going in there, you know, coming off of whatever they're coming off. Maybe they feel good about the way they're playing. Maybe they're like us where they're really down and they have a heightened focus, but they also have a heightened focus because they know that, you know, there's a very good chance if you're not locked in, you're going to get embarrassed. And that's every night in the NBA, but I think that's heightened when you're playing the champions. And, you know, our guys were clearly ready, and we're going to have to be ready again.
Yeah, no doubt.
I love this team and how fast they are, and they beat you in different ways than the Warriors do. But one of the best ways, to, I think, to prepare for them was really watch the Warriors' games, and they were incredible games early on this year.
Yeah, I want to get to, when we get to them, I want to get to speed versus pace, because I don't think people really understand the difference. Did you get the feeling after the game last night, just in the last 24 hours, that it was less celebratory is the wrong word, but just more, hey, that's what we're supposed to be doing? There was just sort of a business-like feeling last night after the game.
Well, first of all, I don't think any of us think that's what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, that's again,
in terms
I think
of approach,
we played well.
Yeah,
we approached it well. We did all the right stuff, and we played together. Like, you know, I just think that, you know, one of the things that people, I think, sometimes get so, you know, that I always get approached about players having a good game if they scored or not. But there's so much more that goes into the game, and I thought we screened. I thought we ran. I thought we defended. I thought we were together. We had each other's back. When we got doubled in the post, we passed the ball. You know, like we didn't take. Yesterday was by far our best shot selection game of the year. And to me, that's a result of being ready to compete together. And we just, you know, that's where we have to get to in the next 16 games. I don't want to harp on the fact that we haven't been there. Everybody knows we haven't been there. But the bottom line is that's where we have to get to.
There's always one team that kind of sneaks through the schedule cracks that we don't see for whatever reason until late in the year. You said you love watching them. I think a lot of people, you know, in the East, there's very few teams, obviously, that play 10 o'clock, 10:30 games. So if you're a late-night person and a basketball fan, you've probably seen some Sacramento games this year. And what's interesting to me is, the again, this perception reality, particularly now with Bagley out, you think of them as a young team because they have guys that haven't really necessarily been in the league that long. But as we all sit here and celebrate Marcus Smart's 25th birthday today, 8 of the 10 guys in their rotation are older than Marcus Smart, and you realize they have got a lot of guys who have played the game internationally or whatever. Buddy Hield, who was an older rookie, and it's easier to get kind of the jump start. This is a very experienced team.
Smart, yeah. Play hard, play together. They play like they're experienced. And then, you know, they've changed who they are from the standpoint of pace. I mean, they're number one in transition in the league, and not only in the rate, but also in their efficiency, which is really, you know, quite a credit to them.
We talk about, there's a lot of buzzwords now, and I try not to use them without context, and we use offensive rating and net rating and defense and pace. Now, pace is, the way the NBA defines it, is basically the number of possessions you have in the game, so teams are playing faster. Now, there is literally no correlation between winning and losing and pace. Absolutely none. There are teams up and down all over the map.
Yep.
What makes a team want to play? Everybody says the same thing. We want to play with pace, pretty much. But what makes a team first want to play with pace?
Well, I think everybody says it, and then ultimately, even if you play with great tempo and you're not in the top 5, 6, 7, even 10 teams in the league, you're still getting into your offense quicker, you're still getting more touches for everybody, and you're still playing with the right purpose. I think when you're slogging up and down the court, walking the ball up the court, and you become stagnant, I think those things are often tied together. So everybody starts the season with the idea of pace and space. I mean, how many people do you read in the preseason talking about pace, 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 pace? You all know that the reality is you're going to slip a little from there. But, you know, when we look at our very best games of the year, we're not playing at breakneck speed, but we're playing very, very purposefully, starting our offense early, and multiple people are touching it early. And that's what happens here. You know, Fox keeps you on your heels the whole time, and then everybody else plays off of that.
Did you think he was going to be this kind of player this quickly? I mean, his speed is, he's a blur, number one, but I've been so impressed with the way he runs their offense.
Yeah, I think it's easy to sit here and say, from a revisionist history standpoint, right, that was pegged by a lot of people. But I do think in that draft, I won't tell you where I had necessarily had him ranked, because obviously Tatum was one. But I'll tell you what. He was awfully impressive. And, you know, if you remember back to his NCAA tournament play, he was awfully impressive. In fact, I'll never forget, my wife and Braden Shrewsbury all flew, and Nick Shrewsbury all flew to Memphis to watch Butler play Carolina in the Sweet 16. Right. And the second game was Kentucky-UCLA, which was ball against Fox. And Fox was great, great. And so My 11-year-old at the time was on me until draft night about De'Aaron Fox, and he's had quite an early start to his career.
So the scouting tentacles essentially just are you know, and they extend really just through family, through friends, through everybody. There's every piece of information is valuable, right?
Yes, every single piece. That's right. No, it was interesting. I mean, you know, he went in there and he didn't really know, he didn't know either team great. He paid attention a little bit, but, you know, obviously there was a lot of impressive players on that court that night.
As there will be tonight. Celtics and Kings next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.